We are continuing our series here today on the book of Galatians called Freedom in Christ and what real freedom is. And today the challenge is to see that the freedom that God has given us in the Lord Jesus Christ is not freedom then just to do whatever we want, to indulge our sinful and selfish desires and passions, but to serve one another, in love, that is the goal. God's goal for one is to serve Him, to serve one another in love, in Christ-like love. Now, sometimes people have some rather distorted notions about love. And I saw this little story here that I want you to know, as I've told you before on some of these, I am not endorsing the theology of this little story here, okay? I'm just telling it to you just to show us how sometimes people don't always understand love, the true nature of love here. But it seems that there was a woman who, after a long illness, she had passed away, and she arrived there at the gates of heaven. And the gatekeeper came by to the woman and said, you know, this is, and the woman said to him, you know, this is such a wonderful place. How do I get in? And the gatekeeper says, well, you have to spell a word. And the woman asks, well, which word? And the gatekeeper says, love. So the woman correctly spelled love, and the gatekeeper welcomed her into heaven. Well, about 6 months later then, the gatekeeper asked the woman to watch the gates of heaven for him that day. And while the woman was guarding the gates of heaven, her husband arrived there. And the woman said, you know, I'm surprised to see you. How have you been? And her husband said, well, I've been doing pretty well, actually, since you died. You see, I married that beautiful young nurse who took care of you while you were ill, and then I won the lottery. And I sold that little house that you and I lived in and bought a big mansion. And my wife and I, we traveled all around the world. We were on vacation. We were water skiing when I fell and I hit my head. And, well, here I am. Tell me, how do I get in? And the woman said, well, you have to spell a word. Which word? Her husband asked. Czechoslovakia. God calls us to serve one another in love, real love. We've been looking here at the book of Galatians here, and we have seen so far that in this book, Paul has been defending his authority as an apostle, that there were false teachers who had crept into the churches there, were threatening to ruin, to destroy the very heart of the gospel message, the very heart of the gospel message. They're saying, God, don't listen to this Paul person. What does he know? So Paul's defending his authority as an apostle then. But then he is also then defending the doctrine of justification by faith alone. That is, that we are made right with God one way and only one way, and that is by faith. Not by our own efforts to obey the law, not by our own efforts to try to be nicer people, not by our own efforts then to try to fulfill some religious ritual and formula, but only one way, and that's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what He has done for us here. Now, Paul, in this chapter here, beginning in chapter 5 today, he is turning to another defense. He has defended his authority as an apostle. He has defended the doctrine of justification by faith alone. And now he is turning to defend the life of Christian freedom that you and I, that all believers in Jesus Christ, have been set free in Him. And the question arises here now that Paul has made it very clear, we're saved by God's grace, that God has richly poured out His grace on us in Jesus Christ. But you know what one of the problems is when people are told that you don't have to obey the law to be right with God? You can't do that. Just obeying the law isn't what makes you right with God. It's faith and what God has done for us. It's God's grace. What do people naturally tend to do when you tell them things like that? I tend to think, oh, well, it doesn't matter what I do. I can do anything I want then, right? It doesn't matter. Paul does not want them to believe that. So his questioning is this teaching, his teaching about justification by faith alone, sanctification by faith, or that we grow in faith, or that we grow in holiness by faith as well, would this lead to godliness in their hearts, or would it lead to lawlessness? That was the great question before him then. Let's look at our scripture passage for today. It's Galatians chapter 5. Verses 1 through 15. Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 through 15. You find that in your Pew Bible on page 1154. 1:1-5:4. Now, Paul has made it very, very clear that we are saved by faith alone, that we can't do anything to make ourselves right with God by our own actions. It's what God has done for us in Christ. But he also says, though, then, that to grow in that faith, to grow in grace and holiness, requires an act of faith as well. Faith in the provision that God has made for us. He begins to explain that here now. He doesn't want us to fall back into slavery again. Slavery to legalism or slavery to sin. Let's listen to what he says here. He says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. But by faith, we eagerly await through the Spirit the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion will pay the penalty, whoever he may be. Brothers, if I am still preaching circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. As for those agitators, I wish they would go the whole way and emasculate themselves." Pretty tense. "You, my brothers, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other." Pretty strong words there, isn't it? Very important words that we all need to take to heart here today. Looking at our text here, understanding what Paul is saying here, telling us what the Christian life is all about. He has told us very firmly how the Christian life begins. It begins by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. How does it continue? It continues then by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and the provision God has made for us in the Holy Spirit. He's going to be telling us more about that in just a little bit here today and next week. But what is the Christian life then? He's describing the Christian life here. And he's telling us that, first of all, the Christian life is a life apart from the law. That this idea that we must obey the law in order to be right with God has no place in the Christian life if we're trying to justify ourselves by that, putting our trust and confidence in ourselves, in our own efforts. We haven't really understood the Christian life or the gospel, that it's a whole new kind of life. Not that the law has no place in the life of the Christian. He's going to make that very clear too. But it has no place as far as our justification before God, being right with God. That's through faith and through faith alone. I want to say, too, as we go on here, that I am indebted to a Bible scholar named Donald Campbell for this outline here. I really like how he has taken this passage here and put it together here to show us then what Paul is saying here. First thing he's telling us then in verses 1 and 2 is that if we turn to law, if we have understood grace, receiving God's grace, being right with Him, and then we go back to trying to serve Him and do things in the power of our flesh, thinking that that's how we're accepted by God, that we're ruining grace. We're ruining the whole notion of grace. That first verse there summarizes for us chapter 4. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Don't go back to being a slave in bondage to sin and death, in bondage to the law, the commandments of God that in and of themselves don't have the power to set us free. Don't go back to that. Don't go back to that way of thinking. Christ is the great liberator who sets people free from the bondage to law and the bondage to sin. So believers then, we need to stand firm in that truth, stand firm on that truth, and not retreat back to bondage. Paul says that if we go back to works righteousness, trying to be right with God by our works, then Christ is of no value at all. Why did Christ bother to come if we could save ourselves? Think about that. If you and I could do things ourselves to be right with God, why did Christ bother to come at all then? He didn't need to come if we could be right with God by our own efforts to obey the law. Might ask too then, why does he bother to extend his grace to us then now if we don't need it? Truth is we do need his grace. That's why he's come. Because we can't save ourselves and we can't continue to keep ourselves saved. We can't grow by our own efforts. It's all the work of Christ on our behalf. And that if you turn back to this works righteousness mentality, you're ruining grace. So the Christian life then is a life that is apart from law, and turning to law ruins grace. Then he also says that turning to law, it enslaves us. It makes us victims all over again. Makes you a slave once again to the law. He makes a statement here, if you want to be justified before God by keeping the law, by rigidly obeying every commandment of the Scriptures, then you are obligated then to obey every part of it perfectly. Says it's a, you think you're going to be right with God by your own efforts to obey every law of God. But you know what? There's nothing wrong with wanting to obey the law of God, right? Hopefully we do want to do that. But if it's our basis of our acceptance before God, that's how we're trying to be right with God, by our efforts to do this, he says, okay, go ahead, give it a shot. But you now need to understand that you need to obey every single part of it, and that if you fail in one part of it, you've broken all of it. I wonder, would anyone here like to take up that challenge this morning? Like I said in our Bible study on last Wednesday night, you know what? Let's just, you know, we'll just clear the whole slate for everyone here this morning. Just speaking hypothetically, okay? And we'll say, it's like, we're going to set aside the grace of Christ. And we're going to make the basis of our acceptance before God our performance. Our performance. That's what we're going to do. We're going to forget all the sins of the past. We're going to say, okay, starting right now, obey God's law perfectly. Anybody like to take up that challenge? Every day for the rest of your life, don't deviate one little bit from the perfect law of God. Would anybody here be willing to take up that challenge? I don't think so. Are we not? We need the grace of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, don't we? We become a slave to God's law. God's law sets us free in the Lord Jesus Christ. His grace does. Not so that we can then do whatever we want, indulge the flesh, but serve Him, serve one another in love. But if we're seeking, again, acceptance before God based on our performance, we're going to fail miserably. We're going to become victims. So the Christian life then is a life apart from the law. When we turn to the law, it ruins grace. When we turn back to the law, it enslaves us then. But he goes further and to say that to turn to law is to fall from grace. When we try to live a life of justification by our works rather than relying on the grace of Christ, we are cutting ourselves off then from the grace of Christ, from the benefit of his grace. if they were going to go back to works righteousness as it's expressed in circumcision here, so all this whole idea of following the law and doing what you want in order to be right with God, your performance, you're going to make it all about that. You're leaving God's grace, the grace system. You're falling away from that and going back into a legalistic, human-centered works righteousness that's going to enslave you. Now, in contrast with legalists, that is people who are putting their trust in the law and their ability to obey it to save them. It says true believers are eagerly awaiting the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, because you know and I know that none of us perfectly fulfills the law of God in our lives, in our hearts, our minds, do we? That we fall short somewhere. Every day, God has declared us righteous once and for all in the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. But that practical expression of it, we're not there yet, are we? And it will never be perfect or complete and fulfilled in this life, in these bodies, will it? But we have this hope that that righteousness, the perfect righteousness of God Himself, will be manifested in you at the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you are confirmed forever in holiness and righteousness and given a glorified body like the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the hope we have in Him. At that time, then, this righteousness that we hope for will be fully realized, and all believers will be completely conformed to the will of God and the righteousness of God. Is anybody here looking forward to that? Looking forward to that? Yeah, a few of us here. I hope all of us. I'm not going to go off on that tangent, that bunny trail. Exercise discipline here. Okay. You and I will be absolutely perfect in Christ, righteous and holy as Christ Himself is holy, and living in glorified bodies. It says then too that for believers, what truly matters, what is of utmost importance, is not some outward conformity to the works of the law, going through routine and ritual that doesn't engage our hearts and minds and who we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. That isn't what matters, it's outward performance. What matters is genuine faith of the heart by faith, genuine faith that expresses itself in love. That genuine faith will work itself out through love. Love of God and love of one another. This is what truly matters, what truly counts then. So the Christian life then, it's a life apart from the law. Again, Paul isn't saying that the law, God's commandment, has no place whatsoever in us. He's going to make that very clear. But he's saying is it's not the basis of our acceptance before God. It's not all about our performance. It's about God's grace in the Lord Jesus Christ expressed to us. He says, in fact, then, that when we turn to the law, when we turn to our human efforts to try to obey God's will, God's commandments, it actually hinders our progress. Anybody here ever experienced that? Where you want very much to fulfill God's will? Maybe there's been, you want very much to do that. So you open up the Scriptures, you start reading through that, and you want to try hard to obey everything in there. Can get pretty depressed. But if you're relying on yourself, your own efforts to obey it, it's rather discouraging, doesn't it? You realize how far you really do fall short of the glory of God. You know, sometimes there's an expression here that sometimes when you begin to learn about a subject, the more you learn, the more you realize how little you truly know and how much more there really is to know about it. So if you decide, I'm going to obey God's word, I'm going to get in there, and again, please don't misunderstand me. God wants us to obey His word, and we need to make decisions and choices, active decisions and choices to obey His word. The issue is the power source. Who are we depending on? So if we're saying, I'm going to do this, the more we obey God's word, the more we're trying to obey God's word, the more we realize how far short we fall, don't we? That's why we need grace. You know, one of Paul's favorite metaphors for the Christian life is that of a race, a long-distance race, and he uses it again here. He says that these believers here, that they had begun their race well, but now someone had cut in on them and it was causing them to stumble, to break their stride and to stumble. You know, the picture here is someone, if you're running along, you're going along just fine, and then all of a sudden someone kind of cuts in on you and he trips you up and fall. That's the picture here of what's happening in the Christian life for these believers. They were going along just fine, and then someone, this false teaching has crept in and it's tripped them up. And they're falling down now. There are many false teachers that were troubling them, but it appears that here that Paul is focusing in on one in particular here, the leader. That there was one leader in particular. And the result of this person's interference in their Christian race is that they were no longer obeying the truth in love through the Spirit, but rather they were attempting to complete the race by legalistic self-effort rather than by faith. And he says that this kind of false teaching, it's like a yeast that spreads and permeates everything. But you know, even this though, Paul was confident though that they would come to see the truth of what he was saying and that this false teacher would receive his due judgment. So the Christian life then is a life that is apart from law. He says then too that when we turn to law, we remove the offense of the cross. What do I mean by the offense of the cross? Well, the offense of the cross is, the cross very clearly states, the cross of Jesus Christ says that you can't do anything to save yourself. You are hopelessly lost. You can't save yourself. There's absolutely nothing you can do to save yourself. It's only what God has done for you. And people find that offensive, don't they? Because they want to think that they're not so bad. They don't want to be told that they are sinners and eternally condemned by a righteous and holy God, and there's nothing they can do to save themselves. All they can do is fall on God's mercy and believe. People find that offensive. They want to think that there are things that they can do, and they're not so bad. So the cross is offensive to them, and the cross is foolish to them. Paul goes on to say something here in verse 12. Pretty strong language here. But he's speaking out of deep concern for the purity of the gospel here then. He says in verse 12, as for those agitators, these false teachers, I wish they'd go the whole way and emasculate themselves. In other words, if they're so concerned about ritual and routine and physical outward expressions here, why don't they just go the whole way and castrate themselves? It's pretty strong language, isn't it? But that's how concerned Paul was for the purity of the gospel. So the Christian life then is a life apart from law. But the Christian life, though, is also a life apart from license. What is license? License is this idea or this mentality that it doesn't matter what I do. You know, well, I'm saved. I'm saved by faith. I'm all set then now. I can do anything I want. Really? Is that what the gospel is? You're saved by faith and it's nothing I can do to save myself. It's all God's grace. So I'm just going to throw myself on God's grace and now I'll do whatever I want. No. Human beings, we love to go to opposite extremes, don't we? We can't save ourselves by obeying the law. Well, then I don't need to obey. Well, that's gradual. I guess I just, obedience isn't important then. I don't need to obey the law. What's the opposite of legalism depending on the law? The opposite of legalism is license. So Paul warns that we must not use our freedom in Christ as a base of operation for indulging the desires of the flesh. But rather our goal should be love. Love as expressed in service to one another. And rather than being in bondage to the law, he calls us to be in bondage to God and to one another, to serve one another. This kind of bondage, the bondage of love, results in true freedom, great freedom. And Christian love is the fulfillment of the law. You want to obey God's word, then love Him with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength, with all your being. And what? Love your neighbor as yourself. And you will fulfill the law of God. He goes on to say then that one way that this love will express itself is through unity in the church. You know, a good way to tell if a church is truly living in the loving freedom of Christ is its degree of unity. When you see problems with, you know, where there isn't much unity in the church, a lot of fighting and bickering and going on, I can tell you right there, people aren't living in the true freedom of Christ, are they? It tells you something about their spiritual lives. So are we showing preference for one another? Are we honoring one another? Are we serving one another? Or are we fighting one another, biting and devouring one another? You know, those are ugly words there, but the picture there is of like wild animals attacking one another. In the church, if you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. Pictures of wild animals going after one another. Ugly words to describe an ugly situation, isn't it? Well, it is ugly. And the thought of it ought to make us all shudder. So I'd ask you then here this morning, in light of this. Now I'm going to admit what you're about to see here. One of them is a real word. The other two I made up, okay? I couldn't resist the temptation to make these words up because it just fit too well. So here goes. Here's the question. Are you a legalist, a licensist, or a libertyist? Do you know which ones are the ones made up? Couldn't resist it because it just fit too well. There are two extremes people can take about our freedom in Christ. One is to walk away from that freedom, to deny it, and become in bondage again to the law, trying to serve God and trying to obey God by our own fleshly efforts, and all we do is just keep coming up short and failing miserably again and again and again. Or sometimes people can become pretty convinced that they're actually doing pretty well. They start looking at other people, and they start judging people, saying, hey, you're not as spiritually mature as I am, become self-righteous about it too, can't they? It's an extreme called legalism, where our faith becomes all about certain rules and regulations. And oftentimes a legalist, though, has this bad habit of adding to the Word of God. You know, instead of, you know, taking what God has clearly said, the legalist then begins to add his or her own ideas about right and wrong, good and bad, and then begins to judge other people on the basis of his and her own ideas about what's good and bad, right or wrong. They've totally lost the whole idea of God's love and God's grace, that we're saved by grace through faith, period. That God then calls us to serve one another in love. The legalist is too busy trying to justify himself or herself by their performance of the law and judging others on how they're doing with that, according to their own standards. That's one extreme, the legalist. But then there's the other extreme there, the licensist. That's the one who isn't overly concerned about obedience to God's word. Thinks, hey, I'm saved. I'm all set here. It's God's grace. I'll do whatever I want, thank you. And you know what? I'll just ask God to forgive me and everything will be just fine, right? Mentality is, those people are going to be very surprised one day too. Discover that probably this kind of mentality, if a person continually rejects God's word, God's law, and says it doesn't matter what I do, I can do anything I want, they realize one day that they were never saved in the first place. Or God is going to have some harsh judgment on that person's life. So God doesn't call us to be legalists, but He doesn't call us to be licensists either. What does He call us to? He calls us to liberty, true biblical freedom in Christ. A libertyist is someone then who keeps that healthy balance there of God's grace, realizing it's all what God has done for us. But then saying, what I do matters. My obedience to God's word matters. And I serve Him and serve others in love. So you're a legalist, are you a licensist, or are you a libertyist? I hope you're striving. Maybe I shouldn't say that word, striving. I hope that your desire is to be a libertyist. And that's what you're living in and for. True freedom. Then do you use your freedom to indulge the flesh or serve in love? God has set you and me free in Christ. But are you using your life? Are you using this freedom? Are you using all that God has given you just to do what you want with your life? Maybe pursue sinful things? Instead of obeying God's word and serving Him and serving one another in love? What are you using that freedom for? Indulging your own desires or serving God in love? Finally, and here's a question. Talked about how one of the ways that true love and freedom will express itself is the unity in God's church. Are you contributing to unity in the church? Are you contributing to division in the church? By your attitudes, by your actions, by your words. You know, I asked last week a question. I said, why doesn't the church act more like the church? I told you to stay tuned for that. Well, I'm going to answer it today, in part, and make you come back for more then. Why doesn't the church act more like the church? Simple, one word. Disobedience. Disobedience to God's word. When we refuse to submit to the authority of God's word, all manner of evil comes upon us then, doesn't it? Expresses itself in all kinds of, including then, well, backbiting and devouring one another, disunity, division in the church, sinful, and being entrenched in sinful habits and attitudes, gossip, bitterness, resentment, stealing, lying, all of these things come about when we refuse to submit to the authority of God's word, when we disobey God's word. The church, why doesn't the church act more like the church? Because we just refuse to obey God's word. There are choices we make there. So, well, why aren't we more obedient then? Okay, God has called us to obedience. Why aren't we more obedient then? Come back for more next time. Let's pray. Father, thank You again for this day that You've given us this precious privilege to worship together as Your people, to receive instruction from Your word. God, there's some tough words in this passage here that we've looked at today, some tough truths. But I pray, though, Lord, that Your Spirit would take those words, those truths. You know our individual situations, that He would apply them to our hearts, to our minds. God, we want to be men and women, and we want to be a church that honors You, that truly shows its faith and liberty in the Lord Jesus Christ by serving one another in love. God, may we be men and women who are shining examples of the love of Jesus Christ, showing preference and honor for one another, and having as our focus above all else, Lord, to please You, to obey You. Not because we think that's the grounds of our acceptance before You, not in a way that we think that we can do ourselves, but because, Lord, we are grateful for the grace that You've given us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank You, Lord, for that grace, and it's in His name we pray. Amen.